I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. And this week was honestly a lot. The congressional baseball shooting, the Grenfell fire in London, the president's tweet that he's being investigated for firing FBI Director Jim Comey, and in the business world, the news that Amazon is buying Whole Foods. So, yes, another relentless week in the news.
I have never met with or had any conversation with any Russians or any foreign officials concerning any type of interference with any campaign or election in the United States.
Shortly after 7 a.m. this morning, a gunman opened fire on members of Congress and their staffs.
President Trump's businesses and his dealings violate the Constitution's anti-corruption provisions, known as the emoluments clauses.
That was Attorney General Jeff Sessions, President Trump, and D.C.'s Attorney General Carl Racine. And since this is Marketplace, we're going to start with that emoluments clause. It says a president can't accept gifts from foreign governments. Two lawsuits, one by D.C. and Maryland and one by Democrats, were filed against the president this week for allegedly violating it. But what happens to a president's agenda and attempts to make policy when the president gets sued? We brought in Andy Wright to explain. He served in the White House counsel's office during the Clinton and Obama administrations.
Things can escalate very quickly. And, you know, there's both the legal issues going on, maybe with Department of Justice, maybe with civil litigants or congressional subpoenas. And it can have an effect on the media environment that can end up becoming sort of all-consuming for the West Wing. And so one of the things that you have to do right away when you're one of the lawyers and one of the communications staffers who's dedicated to the legal issues is try to make sure you can sort of cauterize all of that noise, compartmentalize the White House so that the president and the senior staff of the White House can continue to do the job on behalf of the American people, and the legal issues can be properly handled by the legal professionals and the dedicated communications folks. So it's kind of like, you know, protecting the quarterback on the blind side. It's not super glamorous, but it's very, very important if the team is going to move the ball forward.
You worked in the Clinton White House when the White House was being sort of subpoenaed very frequently. What was that like?
You know, it was really distracting and all-consuming for the legal staff. I mean, you know, after Bush v. Gore, my parting gift from the administration as I continued to represent Vice President Gore was 13 binders containing over 1,000 subpoenas that the White House had received during the Clinton administration that I had to take with me because I was continuing to respond to subpoenas, and we were still getting new subpoenas related to the administration's conduct afterwards. Once the dam breaks and it really becomes open season that has both the sort of legitimate legal issues and the partisan incentives for the critics of the president to pile on, it can really get out of hand in a hurry.
You know, we have heard the president and his staff reference various things and say they're a distraction from the work they're trying to do. What doesn't get done if a White House is tied up in litigation?
A lot of things can happen. I mean, there's just a lot of battery pack that gets burned if your chief of staff or your, you know, communications director or your senior advisors are fielding calls and dealing with searches of their files, going through their emails and having to produce documents in response to subpoenas, et cetera. That's very distracting. If they're getting criticized in the media, that also takes a personal toll. And so that means all the things you're trying to do on behalf of the economy, in foreign affairs, and other important critical decisions that have to be made, there's an opportunity cost to those substantive projects because of the process of litigation and the risks that it entails.
I mean, one of the things I'm thinking about with this administration is a president who clearly values loyalty. But if you are a staffer who's saying, I'm trying to serve the American people or I'm trying to protect the institution of the presidency, that's a pretty hard thing to do at once, serve the president and serve the institution.
Yeah. So first thing, you know, if you're a White House lawyer, your first and foremost job is to create a culture of compliance. You've taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution, just like the president and other senior advisors have. So you need to make sure that the constitutional provisions are being complied with, that statutes are being complied with. That's an incredibly important job. And one of the critical jobs of the president and the other senior leaders in the White House is to make sure that they heed sound legal advice and that they back up the lawyers to empower them to make sure that others in their organization and their orbit follow the law. So one of the things that I think is going on right now is the president, in this insistence on loyalty, as it's been reported, is creating an incredible strain on conflict that the lawyers face, because there doesn't seem to be a president who has undertaken the same sense of obligation about a culture of compliance that the lawyers have. So they're now sort of running around trying to plug up holes in the dam rather than being on the same page with the president.
What things are the job of the White House counsel's office, and what things are the job of a private attorney, which certainly President Clinton had, President Trump has? You know, who does what?
Sure. Well, it's incredibly important to have a private attorney when the president faces any significant legal jeopardy or has litigation touching on their personal affairs, because that allows the White House lawyers to continue to focus solely on their job, which is doing government jobs, serving the American people. So those are very distinct roles. There is a lot of overlap, however, between them sometimes in something like this. So, for example, if there's litigation that is going to touch on the Trump organization, but it also touches on the president's official duties, there may be subpoenas that come out of the litigation that hit both the Trump organization as a private business and also the White House records that are, you know, governed by the Presidential Records Act. So the White House lawyers may have an important role in compliance with the legal process happening related to the litigation, but they should never substitute that obligation for taking on a representation of the president in his personal capacity. So that's one of those things that you have to spend quite a bit of time discerning as a lawyer and trying to make sure that you stay in your lane and continue to work on behalf of the American people. But it's not always completely intuitive. So you have to really spend time and take it very seriously.
You know, people listening to this may say, all of this seems really academic. What are the stakes for an average American if a White House is sort of batting away lawsuits coming toward it?
Well, there are a couple of very tangible results. First of all, there's the opportunity cost of all of the distraction at the White House, which means that the things that the people that voted for the president and sent him there to do aren't getting done. They're not getting the same amount of devoted time to them. So there's a cost there. Second of all, the worse the atmospherics are of the litigation, if there are bad documents that start to tumble out into the public space because of document requests and subpoenas, that poisons the atmosphere for the politics, both in terms of the litigation. It makes it harder to win cases in the courts, but more importantly, it poisons the atmosphere in Congress. It is academic at the first instance, but it's the beginning of something, a chain of causation that can end up really swamping an administration. You know, I think during the Clinton administration, we felt like we lost several years of initiative. Obviously, the president was doing his job every day, but there were just a ton of opportunity costs lost to the impeachment fight. And so you just hate to see that happen if you're someone who's worked so hard to put someone that you agree with on substantive policy in office.
Andy Wright worked in the White House counsel's office in both the Clinton and Obama administrations and is now a professor at Savannah Law School. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.